This is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to episode 160. I'm Credo.
I'm Angry Cooter.
And I'm Minority Mike, and I am live in Cancun, Mexico, ladies and gentlemen. I am a little drunk right now, but it's okay because this is another wrestling podcast.
Hey, Mike, aren't you a little too old for spring break? What are you doing?
I'm down here. My boy's getting married, and so he decided to put everybody in a financial deficit. I sent us all down here. Yeah, fucking guy. We're down here partying up, having fun. Wedding is tomorrow night. Decided to give you guys a little call, say what's up.
Mike's down in Cancun. Don't you go anywhere. Today, we're going to talk about some of the weakest champions in the business later on. Joining us, we have one of the most hardcore wrestlers that have ever graced the squared circle. We have Abdul the Butcher. Everybody listening out there, you can find all of our shows on anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Make sure you head on over there. Happening next week, though, guys, there's a lot of stuff happening over here in our area. We're going to have the Now, Poughkeepsie's Own Now, on May 22nd at Mahoney's Irish Pub and Steakhouse in the Laugh It Up Comedy Club room. They're going to do a Raw night over there with wrestling trivia, drink and wing specials. Trivia winner is going to get some tickets to go to Northeast Wrestling Spring Slam Show next Friday over in Newburgh, New York. So make sure you guys head out over there. And speaking of Spring Slam, it's going to be happening in our backyard over here in Newburgh, New York next Friday at the Ice Time Sports Arena. We're going to have Northeast Wrestling Champion Cody Rhodes in the house, Ryback, Booker T, Mandy Leon, native to the area, Bill Carr. We had him on the show a few weeks ago. The Now are up for the tag team championships. They're going to be fighting in a steel cage for that. It's going to be a crazy show. A lot of other guys are going to be there. We're going to have actually Cody Rhodes versus Adam Cole, baby. He's going to be fighting for the Northeast Wrestling Championship. You know, the guy who's just booted out of the Bullet Club, you're going to see him go one-on-one with Cody Rhodes. He was actually, he was on top of Cody Rhodes' list that he made, that infamous list. Adam Cole was the first wrestler on there, so this is the first time these two will meet. A lot of things are happening. Dijak's going to be there. JT Dunn. Deonna Purrazzo is going to be fighting Mandy Leon. But guys, Newburgh, Northeast Wrestling. I hope we get them back at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, but until then, it's going to be at the Ice Time Sports Arena. Make sure Friday, May 26th, be there.
So, I'm in the airport. We're going through customs, right? Customs in Mexico is very serious, especially with Donald Trump and this goddamn wall. So we're standing in line customs, and I'm standing over here and I'm looking at this chick who walked right through us, and I'm like, who the hell is this? And I'm looking at her and I'm literally staring at her because she had no makeup on, and I'm like, holy shit, this is everybody's favorite hugger. It's Bailey. And I'm like, Bailey is in Cancun, Mexico, right? So she's standing in front of me. I don't want to be that guy and go up to her and be like, hey, Bailey, I know who you are. Like, no one was approaching her. She was with some dude. I'm sure it was her boyfriend. I don't know who it was. Right? So, standing there, and then when you go through customs in Mexico, right, there, you got to press this button. And you press the button, and it turns green first, then you can go. You're good. But if it turns red, then you got to go in a separate direction, and then they have the right to randomly search your suitcase. Bailey, everybody's favorite hugger, I guess the people in Mexico don't like hugging because when she pressed the button, it turned red. And I was all eyes for this one. I wanted to see what was in that suitcase. So I took my time. I was watching that. And they literally raided her suitcase, man. These Mexicanas, they were taking out everything. They were taking out her song. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I saw her song. A nice red song she had. It was nice. The lingerie, they're taking out her bathing suits. I mean, they were raiding her suitcase, and she was sitting there not happy in that. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, Bailey is in Cancun right now. She's actually staying in the resort right next to us. I know this because they got into the van. See, we got in a separate van for the Hard Rock. She got in the van for the Oasis, and the Oasis is right next door to the Hard Rock. So Bailey is in Mexico, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of lucha libre going on down here too. We went into town the other day, right? And you see nothing but like guys, like promoters, like handing out cards for two things. Well, more than like besides prostitutes, okay? But they're handing out for drugs, marijuana. They want marijuana. They want to give you marijuana. Or cocaína. For the white people, it's cocaine in Spanish. But besides those things, they're trying to hand out. They're handing out tickets to lucha libre and donkey shows. Now, which one you want to go to, guys? You want to go to watch some lucha libre, some mass wrestling, or you want to watch a donkey show? I don't know. That's a tough decision to do, guys.
I've never seen a donkey show. I might have to pick that one just for the goof.
Guys, I'm gonna go drink. You guys have a killer show. Enjoy it. Have fun in New York. I will be back next week.
Well, there you go. AWP is happening all over Cooter, even in Cancun right now. We'll check back with Mike in a little bit, see what's happening down there. But what is going on, Cooter? Everybody's getting all upset on Twitter these days, I guess. Did you see what's happening with Randy Orton and some of these comments he made this week?
Oh, God. You know what? This is why I stay off of Twitter for the most part. The trolls and the pests. And nobody can have an opinion. He's just been getting shit on for having an opinion that probably does have a little bit of a legitimate point, I would say. I mean, for me, I half agree with him, half don't. But, I mean, the way he's getting lambasted, maybe try explaining what the hell we're talking about in case the listeners don't know, Carito.
Randy Orton tweeted this. I guess Rip Rogers got this picture and it said, every indie match now, handshake, drawn out, move, exchange, this is awesome, chant, strike, exchange, dive, no sell, indie, strong style, dive, more strikes, no sells, dive, flippy, floppy, sequence, dive, hit everyone with each other's finisher, then Humpty Dumpty, we all fall down, fight forever, chant, rinse and repeat until every move is useless and means nothing. Dive, take unsafe shot that looks like shit and hurts like hell, then roll up, finish. Handshake and hug after match. Everyone's hands raised. All these guys chant, go home and type on social media, thanking your opponent and company for the match and telling others they should book these guys. Dive. That's what Rip Rogers got. And, you know, after some negative reaction, Orton made the call to fan the flames with an apology. Orton's apology was, he said, sorry to the indie marks, indie guys and old timers who do dives, took offense, just having a good time over a few drinks in Denmark, closing the SmackDown Live tour while beating Raw and making over $5 million in the last 11 shows. Now I know to some that doesn't equate to a standing room only crowd of 150 people paying $8 at an armory somewhere. But in the big boy world, that's called putting asses in seats. So enjoy your flips, dives, and 20 super kicks per match. To each their own. I will go dive back into my 13th title run and get ready to flip when my bank statement comes this month. ... Headlock.
Oh, I love Randy Orton. This is the best part of his title reign, which we'll get into a little bit later, because he's been having somewhat of I don't want to call it a flop, but it hasn't been his greatest run as WWE champion the way he's been booked. But this has been my favorite part thus far. I mean, just him engaging fans and having a opinion and shitting on these fucking smart marks. Just trolling. Fucking amazing, Credo. Come on, that is some funny shit.
A lot of people were responding to him, too. We had Loki saying, unfortunately, you're protected in the WWE. Come out to the real world and test your tantrum with adults. Somebody even posted a picture of a t-shirt called Black Dives Matter, asking him what sizes Orton want. A lot of other stuff. I mean, you know, it is what it is, man. The guy's allowed to talk. The guy's a veteran of the business now. He was the youngest world champion. You know, the guy can go. I mean, the guy sells, like you said, he sells out buildings. He's still a huge name in the business. You know, everybody has a right to their own opinion, right?
Let's play devil's advocate, though. Did he do the OVW run? Of course he did. he was pretty much guaranteed a spot on that roster anyway. They were really big into these second and third generation stars, looking for the next Rocky Maivia, The Rock, or whatever it was. You know what I mean? I mean, we had a Ted DiBiase after that. We had a Cody Rhodes after that. I mean, these wrestling families, you know, it's smart business, recognizable names. Not to say that he isn't talented and that he isn't great at what he does, but I think he had an easier path than some, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, even like they're saying in this one article I was reading, you know, the indie shows that Orton's boo-hooing are doing constantly better business than they have in a long time. I mean, we are in that little bit of a boom period, so, you know, yeah, there are some smaller shows out there, but still, you know, I think right now is good for all in the wrestling world right now. Everybody's doing good business right now.
Yeah, I mean, I like to tend to agree with them because, I mean, this is why I was disagreeing with Mike a few weeks ago about the Kenny Omega and Okada match. Was it a great match? Absolutely. And is New Japan a main stage show? I mean, I would say it is. But at the same, I mean, I wouldn't call it an indie, but I mean, it was kind of an indie style match with 50 different finishers, everybody kicking out. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he does have some validity to that point. I mean, you don't need to go absolutely berserk and put your life on the line to put on, you know, a quality match that the fans are going to enjoy. And I think that's his point. And I don't necessarily disagree with him. But, I mean, is it fun to see some of these matches? Of course. But I think when they're done consistently, they're not as special.
You know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. He has his opinion. We have our opinions. You guys out there have your own opinions. And that's what the world's about, right? Opinions, everybody gets to say what they want and believe what they want. And that's what makes America great, right? We're going to keep it like that. But, you know, joining us today, we have a guy who has been a part of this business and who has put on some of the bloodiest matches of all time. Joining us right now, we have Abdullah the Butcher. Our guest today has a reputation for being involved in some of the most violent and bloody hardcore wrestling matches of all time. Please welcome the madman from the Sudan, Abdul the Butcher. Abdul, how's it going?
Everything's going good. Where's that guy, what's his name, Sims?
Eric Sims, ESS Promotions.
Eric Sims, yeah. I want to beat the shit out of him when I see him.
So you're going to be coming to the Legends of the Ring and Pro Wrestling World on June 10th and 11th. For everybody,
I'll be there.
Yep. For more information, everybody head on over to ESSpromotions.com. But for all your fans coming to see you in June, what would you like to tell them?
What I want to tell them, you're going to see a lot of action. And when you see that Bull Ramis, I'm going to beat him up a little bit. But the main one is that Sims. I'm going to sign my autographs, and I'm going to be looking for people to beat up.
Now, one of our biggest questions from our fans, they always wanted to know was, why the fork? Was there any story about how or why you started using it as your tool of trade?
I use the fork, I use nails, I use bottles, I use chairs, I use everything.
Was there any special reason why you loved the fork, though, mostly?
Well, a long time ago, somebody threw a fork in the ring, and I picked it up, and I smiled, and I started stabbing the guy with it.
Now, I understand you learned karate and judo at a young age. Were you able to transition to wrestling easily from knowing that?
I carried a 7th degree belt, and when I was in Windsor, Ontario, I used to teach some of the police.
You battled Andre the Giant in front of 25,000 fans in Puerto Rico. You clashed with Hulk Hogan in Japan. Your wars with Bruiser Brody and Carlos Colon defined hardcore action decades before ECW, and it showed promoters that wrestlers who didn't fit the traditional wrestling mold can draw serious crowds and are worth investing in. Do you think that
that can still be applied to today's wrestling. Basically, companies and investing in guys with different looks more often than using the everyday cookie cutter wrestlers.
Let me say something to you first. Number one, you got to have freaks. You had guys like Calhoun, Andre. Big guys, small guys. Not everybody had muscles. You understand? Mm-hmm. Every time the guy walks onto the ring, he's doing what? He's showing his muscles. Or he's somebody's throwing him into a table, smashing tables. The people see the same thing every day, and every roster who goes in the ring, they're doing what? The same thing. I can take a nobody, and when I get my hip done, you understand? I'm coming back like with somebody, Abdullah Jr., and I'm working on him right now.
A good friend of the show, Mike Carr, he asks, what are your thoughts on the current deathmatch scene? Companies like CZW using razor boards, scissors, light tubes in general. Considering you were one of the godfathers of the style, are they taking it too far, or do they view it as a natural evolution where the risk was always going to ratchet up?
What do the people believe? When they see somebody take a pair of scissors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or they see somebody take a razor board or something, right? And they do this, they do that. You see, every time that I went into the ring, what did the people say? We believe Abdullah because I knew how to produce. And that's the key. You understand? You got to know. It's like Bruiser Brody, Terry Funk, Dory Funk, Andre the Giant, Hogan, all these guys, they knew how to work. You understand?
Definitely.
They knew what to do. And that's it.
Also, now, you received some major North American exposure in 91 with WCW. You're introduced by Cactus Jack as a threat to Sting. You participated in the infamous Chamber of Horrors match in which you were fried in the electric chair. It presented
right.
you as a monster to a whole new generation of fans. Did you have any memories of that match or something the fans might not know?
Well, number one, the people, Cactus Jack, I really I respect him, and he's a nice guy. He's got a nice family and stuff like that. But Cactus Jack was the one who made a mistake and pushed the button on me.
Oh yeah.
But the main part about it, when you seen that match, a lot of people were calling and said, "Did Abdullah the Butcher really get electrocuted?"
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's what you give the people.
Being a hardcore wrestler, I mean, you do a lot of stuff. I mean, was there ever a spot that you refused to do? Was there anything that you said, nope, I definitely don't want to do this or use this kind of weapon in the match? I don't know. Was there anything that you just didn't want to do?
Nobody told me what to do. You understand? That's how I drew people. But I would take it so far. You mm-hmm. understand?
Sure.
It's like Stan Hansen. Stan Hansen used the rope. You understand? Bruiser Brody used a chain. You understand? But how many times did Bruiser Brody or Stan Hansen hit somebody with the rope or the chain? I mean, they used to wrap it around your neck and choke you or something like that. And, I mean, Brody done the same thing. Like he would choke you with the chain. He'd hit you in the back and stuff like that. You see? And that was it.
Yeah. Now, did you ever have a favorite wrestler to work with in that hardcore style?
I love to work with the Funks. I love to work with Cologne, Bruiser Brody, Stan Hansen, Giant Baba, all of them. Anybody who I worked with, I don't care if there was a nobody, I could make them. And that's the name of the game today.
Sure. And you mentioned the Funks. Terry Funk claims to have had one of his top three all-time greatest matches with you. Any thoughts about Terry Funk himself?
Well, let me say something to you. Terry Funk was a pro. When I say a pro, he knew how to get it done. You understand? Billy Robinson knew how to get it done. You understand? The Sheik knew how to get it done. All these guys, Lou Fez, like when Lou Fez worked with me in Vancouver, a lot of guys came up there and said, Abdullah, Lou says he's going to whip your ass tonight, and the place was packed. And when the first match went in, Lou says came over to my room and said, "Listen, kid," he said, "we got a hell of a house out there. Don't listen to those guys. You're the one who drew this house. You understand what I mean?" Mm-hmm. And we went out there and tore the house down. Then we came back, I think, 2 weeks later and sold it out again. And then, like, Don Leo Jonathan was, he was the one to know. Gino Brito, he picked me up and slammed me. And the other guy, he done the same thing. He slammed me and stuff like that.
Just lastly, too, would you have any advice for any wrestlers looking to get into that hardcore style? Any words from the great Abdul the Butcher?
Hardcore is a dangerous business. If you don't know how to do it, you understand what I mean? Stay away from it.
Thank you so much. I just want to remind the fans out there, June 10th and 11th, make sure you head on over to ESSpromotions.com. Abdul, any last words for any of the fans out there?
Yeah. Like, are you coming there?
I'll be there.
I want to get both of you together and beat the shit out of you. Okay?
I can't wait. There you go.
All right, sir. Take care. Thank you very much for having me on the air. And let me take care, okay?
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Abdul. Talk to you soon.
And like, to all my fans, you understand what I mean? Tell them Mother's Day was yesterday. You understand? More power to them. Make sure they take care of their mother and their father, okay? You only have one mother, one father. Take care of them. All right?
All righty, Abby. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
All right, sir.
All right, let's get right into the week that was, shall we? I've never seen so many injuries in recent times happen so much. I mean, ever since Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, you know, guys have just been getting injured, it seems, more frequently now than ever. And the man who's sure has made a new name for himself, Braun Strowman, had to get surgery this past week and is looking to be out for 6 months. Cooter, is there like a black curse going around or something happening? Because it's like just as soon as people get momentum, tragedy strikes. I mean, like I said, Seth Rollins, his champion, boom, breaks his ankle or whatever, or his knee. Finn Balor wins the first ever, you know, the Universal Championship, hurts himself in the match, has to relinquish the title the next night. And then we're almost going to probably get Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar. And now the man is going to be out for 6 months. Is this like a little black cloud over the WWE?
Oh, God. I mean, think of last year's WrestleMania. That card got destroyed because of injuries. I mean, imagine a WrestleMania with no advertised John Cena match. I mean, he made his appearance and blah, blah, blah. But this is just absolutely ridiculous. And I'm starting to notice, I mean, Braun's the first big guy, but it's a lot of the smaller guys that are getting hurt. I mean, here's a classic example. Hideo Itami has been in NXT for nearly 3 years, not quite 3 years, but I mean, he's been on the shelf for a majority of that time. These small guys, I don't know if they're ready for the land of the giants. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but...
Well, okay, well, how about this?
Style a little bit more reckless, maybe? I don't know what's going on, man. It's crazy.
Well, okay, with Land of the Giants, we actually have a decent giant right now, Braun Strowman. But, I mean, is it just poor booking? Like, do we need to have, like, these devastating matches every week? Like, does he need to have, you know, no DQ matches and, you know, all these fights backstage? Like, that's what fucking ruined him. You know, it's like they're trying to make it totally over the top with what he's doing for Roman Reigns and just beating the shit out of him. We just get right down to it. But, you know, just why can't he just be wrestling? Like, whatever he did to his arm, I don't know if it was something that just happened over time or if it was one of those things, you know. I know they made it look like it happened at Raw or whatever, but still, I know it was something that happened during all that going on. But, I mean, do you think WWE just ruined it themselves by making them do all these stupid things and not just have them wrestle in the ring?
I don't know. I don't know if it would have been as dramatic and if it would have worked as well. We talked about how much we love the shit that he was doing for weeks. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe we're paying the price for that style of booking. It was just so much fun to watch, though. It sucks now. The poor guy, is going to probably lose that momentum. If you look at certain guys who came back, I mean, Seth Rollins pretty much got thrown into, I don't want to say title contention, but like top of the card status once he came back. And it almost seems like somebody like Finn Balor, now that he's back, when he first got to Raw, within a month, he's the Universal Champion. And now he's finally battling for that spot. Never lost his title. This whole thing is just a clusterfuck. I mean, if we were to produce a list of major injuries, not just this year, but let's add last year. I mean, we lost Sting because of a devastating injury, forced retirement. So, I mean, is it the booking? Is it careless work? Is it what is it? Is it just bad luck? I don't know, Carito, but it's a goddamn shame because I have personally enjoyed just watching him on TV. He's probably, for me, the one bright spot of that whole goddamn show.
Yep, it's definitely been enjoyable just to see where he's coming, where, you know, he's actually going, and then just for this to happen. Oh, it's such horrible timing. But, you know, with injury, you know, you got the show must go on. So now, what do we do? We joked about last week, you know, great balls of fire. I can't believe Kurt Angle said balls on Raw. Like he said, who's going to have the balls to face him? Or something like, oh, that's how we're going to plug great balls of fire. So anyway, so now we have five spots to see who's going to be facing Brock Lesnar. Now we have Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Samoa Joe all going up against each other at the next pay-per-view to see who will be the number one contender to face Brock Lesnar. You know, this is interesting. I mean,
yes.
the show must go on. Things are going to change every second, so this is what we're getting. Let's talk about these guys right now. Because,
well, let me throw this out here for you. Which guy on this list do you not want to see in that match against Brock Lesnar? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you who I don't want to see, and I'll tell you why I don't want to see it. Okay. First up, Roman Reigns. It seems A, too obvious. B, this match I think is probably going to be held off till WrestleMania, unfortunately. That's probably the time we're going to actually see those two go at each other for maybe this championship. I hope the Universal Championship doesn't stay on either one that long, but I honestly hope whoever faces Brock Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire actually beats Brock so we can get that championship back on TV. But Roman Reigns, first and foremost, don't want to see him, only because I feel like that's probably a better match for next year, next WrestleMania, like for a little redemption from the, you know, 2 years ago. So that's my first pick. Let me go down, and this is just my order. Maybe you can tell me about your guys too. But
let me throw one guy out there. I'm gonna say Seth Rollins, just for the pure fact that you said Reigns, and I'm gonna say Rollins because these are matches that we've already seen. Yeah. I like the fact that we have five spots to Brock. I'd like to see something different. I would find it very intriguing how you would book a Brock Lesnar versus a Finn Balor, just because of the great size difference. I think it would be hard to book a Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar because, I mean, Bray Wyatt's not exactly going to win a, how do I want to say this? He's not going to be able to play the mind games with the likes of a Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, well, like with those guys that you're saying, though, right there, too, I mean, Seth Rollins, I mean, he still has a program going on with Samoa Joe. I feel like I don't think you could take him out of that right there and then. And, you know, you said Finn Balor. I'll tell you, I think Finn is my favorite out of all these guys, only because he has nothing else going on. Bray Wyatt, you know, Bray just kind of came over to Raw. Granted, he was probably better off on SmackDown because he was the WWE champion, and now he's kind of getting lost in the shuffle again over here. But I think it's too soon for that, you know, for Bray Wyatt and Brock. And I don't want to see Bray Wyatt lose again. You know what I mean? I want to see, if anything happens, I want to see Bray Wyatt beat whoever wins against Brock just to give him some more credibility over on Raw. But, you know, and lastly, just to go into this quick, and I want to get your take on it too, but Samoa Joe, that's a dream match everybody wants to see, but
yes.
he's been going as a mega heel, and if you put Joe up against Brock, it's almost like we're going to turn Joe face right away. So I think rushing that match too would probably be a waste, only because
I might disagree with that. I think that Brock is pretty good at being an in-betweener or a tween, whatever the fuck the marks call him. It really depends who you put Brock up against, because people do like Brock Lesnar. You put him up against the John Cena, they're going to cheer for Brock Lesnar, depending on the town. If you put him up against the Roman Reigns, they're going to cheer for Brock Lesnar. So is Joe an effective enough of a heel for the fans to cheer for Brock Lesnar? I think he has it in him. I think he has that ability. If you had to do that face versus heel type of match, I think it could be done. I really do. And to me, that is a absolute dream match. That's what I would love to see. But I tend to agree with you. I think we're going to get Finn Balor. I really hope we don't get a Roman Reigns. It might be a Roman Reigns just because, all right, with Strowman gone.
I know.
What do you do with Reigns? What do you do with him now, Carito? That's the important question to ask. Like you said, you have Rollins versus a Joe, still kind of working a program. Finn Balor's kind of not really in anything.
Well, they did seize Wyatt. Remember when before even Wyatt had that match at last pay-per-view?
That's true.
Wyatt did tease something with Finn, but they never did anything with it. So it was like, okay, what was that about? You know. So they kind of just dropped that. I don't know if it was more or less that they're playing safe just to have something for him, but they never really did it. But I don't know. I mean, like, let's look at Finn, though. I mean, his first night on Raw, he beat Roman Reigns. Last week, he lost to Roman Reigns. But, you know, they skyrocketed him on as soon as he came in. But I feel like guys who have been injured, from Seth Rollins to Finn Balor, you know, these guys were injured, came back. And it's almost as if they're afraid to put him, give him a push again right away. I think they kind of want to see what's going to happen. I almost feel like they're getting, you know, cold feet of giving these guys that big push again, only because they're afraid they're going to get injured again or something to that effect. But I don't know, man. Out of all these guys, I want to see Finn the land where he left off basically went before he got injured. Because, I mean, he did look to have a promising reign as the Universal Champion for a while, and that ended in one night. So out of anything, I hope they kind of give this guy, you know, a little bit of a redo. At the end of the day, we'll find out, because anything can happen and it will happen, but a lot of stuff's happening this weekend too. We have a UK show, we have NXT TakeOver Chicago, and Backlash. Now, if you guys have been listening to us for a while, we would pretty much go over all these pay-per-views on the show, but to entice you guys to head on over and subscribe to us on YouTube, we're going to have a little special over there, so make sure you head on over to youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod. You will be talking about all three of these shows, but just briefly, Cooter, what is happening this weekend? There's nothing. It's not like one of the big four happening, but we're having a UK show that was taped. We're having NXT TakeOver Chicago, and then followed by a SmackDown exclusive Backlash.
Oh, baby. I'm looking forward to this. No, I'm not. Believe me, there's really not much on any of these cards that I'm too excited to see. I mean, if there's maybe one to two matches of Backlash that have somewhat piqued my interest, I think the Nakamura versus Ziggler thing has been pretty interesting, which is strange because I don't even remember seeing them on SmackDown this week, but that's a whole other story.
And that'll be his first pay-per-view since joining the main roster.
Yeah, his first match since joining the main roster.
Oh, there you go.
I haven't really been a fan of this. I would love to see the match because I think, you know, Dolph Ziggler is one of the best in-ring performers in the company. I mean, nobody sells. He's the modern-day Shawn Michaels. I mean, just not as successful. But that being said, I'm not too keen on the Orton versus Mahal. I think Jinder Mahal's stock kind of took a bit of a dive with his promo on SmackDown this week. So that kind of killed it for me.
Well, yeah, well, let's not give it all away, though, because we wanted to tune into our YouTube page. But other than that, you know, we have Bobby Roode and Hideo Itami we're going to be talking about. There's some UK title championship matches happening this week, but we're going to talk about why it's kind of messed up. So, and once again, make sure you head on over to youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod, and you're going to hear why Angry Cooter is kind of pissed off, if you don't mind me saying.
No, absolutely not. I might have to rant on this shit.
So, guys, once again, head on over there. You'll hear what we're talking about all three of these shows going on this week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about the must-see matches, a.k.a. the Angry Cooter mixtape from the four shows that I personally watch every week. So, for Raw, I picked Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor. I'll get back to that in a second. It's somewhat of a controversial match on the internet. Credo, you and I are going to have a bit of a chat about this. But on SmackDown, I picked Randy Orton versus Baron Corbin. I thought that was the best match of the night. 205 Live was not even the main event, but I picked Noam Dar versus Grand Metalik. Dude, I think we got a new power couple. You got Alicia Fox beating Sasha Banks, and now Noam Dar is back on the win train, baby. Hey, wasn't that first time we've seen Grand Metalik on 205 Live since they said he was supposed to come over?
I think that's the first time we've seen him ever. Huh? Ever since they started the whole cruiserweight, yeah. A month
two ago, maybe three, that he was coming. Coming yeah, soon.
Coming soon, 6 months later, whatever, same thing, right?
I want to say that was his debut. I could be wrong, but whatever. Either that or it's been so long since he's been on the show that he's not even.
They might have had him like once or something, but other than that, he disappeared for a while. I don't know if he had to like change up some dates or something or what, but.
All right, well, that being said, last but not least for NXT, Cassius. Oh no! Versus the guy whose name we love to fuck up when we try to say it, Andrade Cien Almas. I think I got it right there, Credo. Though you could make the argument. Oh God, who the fuck? I'm such a retard. You know what it is? I love watching Drew McIntyre beat the piss out of people. I mean, these are squash matches, and unfortunately, the former guest of ours, Sean Maluda, was on the receiving end of a serious ass-kicking. But your boy Sean Maluda left a little bit of a mouse under McIntyre's eye. I think he might have gotten a receipt or two in that match. So those are the matches of the week. But let's talk real quick, Rito, about something here.
Sure.
Your favorite, Vince Russo, was quoted in saying that the match between Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor put him to sleep.
Oh, Vince.
Yeah. You know what? There are the fans that agree with him, and then there are the fans that completely disagree with him. I am one of the fans who disagree with him. I thought it was a very good match. As much as I don't like Roman Reigns as a character, he's really not that bad of an in-ring performer.
No, yeah. I think, for me, if I was booking this, though, what I would have done different, because like I said, we have all five of these guys vying to be the number one contender in 2 weeks for the Universal Championship. Now, I know the next few weeks are going to have Roman versus Balor. I'm sure they're going to have like Wyatt versus Rollins and Reigns versus Joe versus whatever. You know, everybody's going to fight each other. You know what I mean? So just to build up this five-way match, I would book all of these matches to a no contest. You know what I mean? So, like, every match, you have a good match, and then either it's outside interference or count out or something. So you wouldn't have a clear winner for each match. Just to build up the hype of, man, all these guys, like, who's finally going to win out of all of them? But, you know, like we said, you know, Balor's first match on Raw was against Roman, and he beat him. Now we have Roman beating Balor, and it's like, Balor just returned. We need to step his game up more. You know what I mean? A loss for Roman wouldn't have hurt him. Like I said, or just like a DQ, a count out, something to, you know, somebody runs in or whatever, and it would have hurt nobody.
That's true. They did that in the main event where we had Rollins versus Wyatt, though. You had Samoa Joe come out. I mean, that was cool. I don't necessarily disagree with Reigns going over on Balor. I think it makes it interesting because now they're like you said, one apiece. So there's really nobody really has the advantage with that one. So I think you can get away with that. But I agree. I mean, matches really need to go to that no contest, so it kind of keeps you guessing. But
it definitely didn't put me asleep, though. I mean, like from the whole Vince Russo thing. I mean, I don't know what you guys want. They're still they have a few weeks to build this up, so they're not going to go crazy just yet. So we're not going to get a super main event match out of these guys right away. I mean, let's milk it a little bit, but Vince,
right. And not only that, we're also talking about a match on Raw. This isn't for a spot for the number one contender, for the number one contendership. Or it's not for an actual title. I mean, it's just a one-on-one matchup. The thing that drives me nuts is Reigns gets a lot of heat. You know, people just don't like him. As great as Finn Balor is, I really feel like his moveset is somewhat limited. That's just my opinion. Not to say that he's not a great talent, but how many guys have we seen over the years with a limited move set be some of the greatest champions of all time? Hulk Hogan was not exactly the most polished wrestler. You know what I'm saying? Kevin Nash was not exactly, under his own admission, he has like 5 or 6 moves. But, I mean, he's still a believable champion in his day. So, to say that you could still tell a great story in the ring without having, you know, the greatest of a moveset. But that's, again, that's just my opinion. And you know, I'm sure if there might be some marks out there who may or may not crucify me for making that statement. But, hey, to me, I still thought it was a fucking really great match. And it was my match of the night. So if you don't agree with that, you can suck my dick or cock. And I think Vince Russo is somewhat of a retard. Let's just book a Jarrett Hall on a pole match there, Vince, because that was much better compelling television than Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns. Douchebag.
Well, the only thing I want to say about Balor is, you know, for what made people love him was the face painting, the face paint, the paint, the body paint, whatever, you know. And they haven't done anything or mentioned the demon since his return. It's just been like the Bullet Club Balor, and where the whole—I hate the whole Balor Club name as it is. Stupid. It's either Bullet Club or it's not. And don't just make a club because of his last name. But the whole intrigue about this guy is not just that he's an awesome wrestler, but he stood out a little bit differently, you know, with that body paint and whatnot. And it's like, yeah, you only bring it on pay-per-views. Okay, I get it, but at the same time, man, he could do something. Like, that was, like, the whole thing about him. And I just personally hate how they limit that on him right now. I understand why, but at the same time, I'm like, that was one of his biggest appeals. And that's where maybe you get Vince Russo saying it's boring or whatnot, to where would body paint, you know, make it more intriguing? It's just, I don't know. It's just one of those little things to add into perspective, I guess.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Promo of the week.
Look at him, Moose. Check him out. 5 days until Backlash. You want to be funny. You want to try to do it for the laughs. You want to try to do it for the retweets and the likes. You want to do it for the gram. But you know why we do this? We do this for this. And we do this for this day one-ish.
Yes, sir.
But role play, huh? Role play.
Yeah.
We did it. They got it. More like it's more like good guys and bad guys.
Hey, role play more like maybe cowboys versus Indians, right?
Nah, Oos is more. It's more like cops and robbers.
Nah, what about cops versus inmates?
Inmates, yeah. But how about we do this and just flip the script right quick, bruh?
This is not your precinct, cop.
No. Nah. Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary. Where we make all the rules, and then 5 days at Backlash, the Usos are taking Breeze Dango to trial. Until then, Us, read them their rights. We have a right to remain vicious. Anything you say can and will leave you with stitches.
We have a right to put your ass in a gurney.
If you can't afford a gurney, one will not
be provided for you.
Now, do you understand your rights?
No, because right now they feel a goosebumps behind their neck, and they feel a goosebumps running through their body, and their head is on a swivel because they feel like somebody creeping behind you. No! It's not paranoia. It's a ooh!
Each and every week, we got this little evergreen topic I want to talk to you about. You know, we've talked about champions, championship titles, but we know, I don't think we really ever talk about some of like the weakest champions of all time, for any title, really. But we are talking a lot about WWE, and I think we can kind of keep going with that. So let's just get right into it. I mean, you know, out of all the champions there have ever been, from Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, the list goes on and on. There was a lot of not-so-great champions in between. It doesn't just have to be for the World Championship. There's other titles out there, too. But let's just talk about some. Let me get the ball rolling here, and let me see if you can kind of get where I'm going. But one thing that stands out to me is Bob Backlund in the 90s. Now, hear me out. Okay. You know, Bob Backlund, of course, is a legend, a WWE Hall of Famer. People knew him in the 70s, the 80s, you know, but it is what it is. But in the 90s, during this whole little different era of Raw, what it was, they decided to bring him back. And for me, honestly, at that time, I didn't know who Bob Backlund was. I was just a young little Mark watching TV. I didn't know all the history. I was just watching wrestling on my TV. You know what I mean? There wasn't all this internet and all that crap, so I didn't really know who he was, unless WWE told me. But for me, looking at it, he looked like, I don't know, he looked like some kid's dad. He just looked like an older guy, and he, you know, he won the championship off of Bret Hart, right? It was Bret, I think, right? Yeah, that he beat him.
Was that controversial ending. I believe it was, I want to say King of the Ring, and I could be wrong.
No.
God, I don't remember what it was. But the point was, they both had a family member. I think Davey Boy Smith was in Bret's, and Owen Hart was actually in Bob Backlund's corner, and they had him throw in the towel.
But so, okay, at this time, I mean, when you think about champions, we had Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Bret Hart, or whatever, and then all of a sudden, Bob Backlund wins, and it's just like, it was out of the blue, out of nowhere. I mean, I'm sure Vince thought of it was good at that time. It was like one of those things that probably looked good on paper, but didn't look good on in final perspective. And when he had the championship, it just totally was like, to me, it was like, it's like, what happened to the championship? You know, like, you're supposed to be the men of men, the guy, the king of kings, the, you know, to hold this prestigious title, and all of a sudden it's going to Bob Backlund. Now, like I said, granted, this is thinking about Bob Backlund, not knowing his whole career from the 70s or 80s, just seeing this guy on TV for the first time, and like I said, he just looked like someone's dad, some old dude, and now he's the champion, and it was just like, you're not gonna put button seats for this 90s era Bob Backlund as a WWE champion. I do you see where I'm going though with this? How like it just seemed like he was one of the weakest champions at that time.
I thought it was booked very well. I mean, I remember that rivalry with Bret. I mean, I really thought it was very well done. I think the problem with it was his actual reign itself. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how long it was. It wasn't a memorable title reign. And for him to lose, it's not too often where you can say that the WWE title is lost on a house show. That's what was so disturbing about it, was Diesel, Kevin Nash, I believe it was his first title reign, beating Bob Backlund at a house show for the belt. That's what drove me over the edge, so to speak, because, I mean, I wasn't as knowledgeable about Bob Backlund then as I was now. When he first came back, before he went absolutely crazy and berserk, they did do a good job with these vignettes and showing us who he was and what he did and what he's been doing since. I mean, they were showing vignettes of him doing construction work after his wrestling career. It was crazy, like. So I knew somewhat of him, and for him to have that character change and for it to just end of a crazy storyline at a house show. That, you would think that that was something that they would do on a Monday Night Raw, at least.
And like today, I mean, today's day and age, everybody listening now, you're spoiled from YouTube to the network to whatever. You see wrestling all the time. At this point, we didn't find out about Bob Backlund losing to Diesel. You know, it was like, I don't even know what year it was, but I mean, like, what part of the internet we had or what dirt sheets were coming out. But we didn't find out till like a few days later kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, so it was kind of like, what? What happened? Why did it happen there? How come it's not on camera or whatever? So it was weird. And, you know, at that time, though, you know, we had champions like Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, taking WWE into the future. But then Nash, you know, I mean, he was Big Daddy Cool Diesel. He wasn't really the Nash that we knew to be later on when he was a part of the NWO and whatnot. This was like just Diesel winning the championship out of nowhere. And granted, I mean, he had the look. He was a big guy. You know, I'm sure Vince loved him. But just to be, I think he was shot put into that championship way, way too soon. And there was no, like, rhyme or reason for it, you know what I mean? Like, there was no build-up to it. And okay, you had that little bit of a shock value, but still. You know, he didn't really do anything for that title. Yeah, and he didn't really do anything for that title. And, you know, a lot of people say it was probably one of the all-time worst title reigns as a WWE champion. So, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm dreading where you're going to go with the next one. Because I'm going to shit all over it. Whoever says this is just going to get a slap. But go ahead, Credo. Go ahead.
All right. So let me bring up this guy. You're not going to like it.
Do it.
The Iron Sheik. You know, now hear me out. The idea of crowning the Iron Sheik, you know, I understand that it was clearly a move to move the world title from Bob Backlund to Hulk Hogan, from one babyface to another. But, you know, in that time that the Iron Sheik called himself a champ, WWE didn't really do too much for him. I mean, all the matches that he had during his reign were bouts with no names. You know, Tito Santana ended in a double countout. There was a lot of, you know, it's like at that time you think, oh, man, they could really use the Iron Sheik as a good heel champion. But I don't feel like the WWE did nothing to build the Iron Sheik up before all, you know, his eventual loss to Hulk Hogan. But I know you're a Sheik fan, but I don't know, man. I think he was probably up there with one of the weakest champions, the Reigns, you know?
Let's cut the bullshit, Credo. Let's cut the shit real quick. Legend has it that Bob Backlund did not want to drop the belt to that howdy-doody Hollywood blonde jabroni Hulk Hogan. Okay? He said it. And Sheik has said it. He had no problem dropping the belt to the Sheik, who is a great amateur wrestler in his own right. Mm-hmm. An AAU champion. He was the Shah of Iran's bodyguard, so on and so forth. And with the Iranian Iranian hostage crisis being such a hot button topic during that time, it's not exactly safe for you to have your belt on that kind of guy. I mean, the heat that motherfucker must have had on him every time he came to the ring with that. You literally ended a 6+ year title reign, which it's not really 6 years, but that's another story. That being said, you know what I mean? For Hogan to take that, how long was his reign? Like a month, maybe a month and a half, something like that.
It wasn't very long. But I do know he only had one televised win with his champion on his championship resume on like live TV. So they didn't really televise too many of his matches back then. So, I mean, it says from 83 to 84, but I'm not exactly sure the months and stuff. I'm not looking it up right now, but, you know, they did say, you know, he coughed up the belt with just one televised win on his championship resume. So I just have to put that into the blame of WWE to where,
fair enough,
they could have went longer with it. But unfortunately, man, that's where I have to put the Sheik in my weakest championship list, you know.
I'm just going to say it was perfect for him to drop it when he did, though. And it was the perfect, and it was the perfect person for Hogan to beat to become the. You know, because Sheik makes the joke, without Iron Sheik, there is no Hulk Hogan, and I couldn't really agree with that anymore. because, I mean, it was just the perfect, it was the hottest heel with the surprising return of, like, the hottest face. So, I mean, here's an interesting question. Is Hogan as popular as a champion? Should he have beaten Bob Backlund for it? No, he would have been hated.
Sure. Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Well, so, I mean, there's the pros and the cons of Sheik's fucking title reign. Moving along.
All right. Well,
for the real world's champion every fucking time.
All right. Well, how about this? Jack Swagger. You know, guys, you know, it always blows my mind to where, you know, you decide, all right, guys, we're going to make this guy one of our world champions. And I figure when you become a world champion, you kind of, you belong to that exclusive club. You know what I mean? You get the jacket, you get the ring, you know, all that fun stuff. You get the championship. So Jack Swagger, you know, I don't know. He wasn't a terrible wrestler, but, you know, at the same time, he wasn't actually very good on the mic. But I don't know. Did he have any business of even being anywhere near that world title picture? I don't know. I mean, did he even do anything for it? I remember his reign very, very slightly. You know, it was nothing that really stood out, nothing very memorable. But at the same time, it's like, it was, I don't know. Were they just filling the gaps for people that were let go or whatever? But what do you think about Swagger when he held that the world title? And that was still when they had the WCW design.
Oh, my goodness. You know what's funny? I don't really remember that title reign. That's what's crazy. I more remember when he was chasing the title prior to the Mania in New York City at MetLife, when he was going up against Del Rio, who was the champ at the time. I do not remember Jack Swagger holding the world championship, which is crazy to me.
Well, that's why he's on the list.
Exactly.
One of the weakest. You know, it's like one of those things. You let him go. He wanted to ask for his release. But it's like I said, you know, if you're a world champion, I feel like you're on this exclusive list. But then, you know, they kind of were just like, did we make a wrong decision? And then they kind of just kept pushing him back and back and back and then didn't put him on TV anymore. And he just kind of faded into the bushes, if you will.
When was this? Was this prior to the MetLife show, or was this after?
I forget. That's how weak it was.
But. Exactly, because I'm trying to think, was Zeb Coulter with him? Did they maybe take it off of him because of a lack of ability for promo skills? I know, I'm just trying to find out why it failed.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that I don't remember it actually happening anyway, so what the fuck are we talking about it for? Moving along! Goddamn.
There you go. All right, well, you know, I love the man, but at the same time, I would have to say I did not like this, and that was Vincent Kennedy McMahon being the WWE champion. You know, at the time that McMahon put the belt on himself, was a little bit narcissistic, if you will. I hate it. I never want to see a booker put the championship on themselves. And, you know, this was a time where you had Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, Mick Foley, The Undertaker. And you know, McMahon's walking around with the championship. I get it that you're a character now and, you know, you're the evil boss and this and that. But at the same time, man, you're not doing anything for the company. Even if you held it for a week or a month or 2 days, it's just like you have such a loaded roster with all this talent. And, okay, we get it. It's your company. You can do what you want. But still, you don't really need to do what you want, you know?
As bad as that was, Credo, I thought it was even worse when he put the ECW title on himself. Do you remember that? Like, that blew my fucking mind. I'm like, wow, you really... Not only do you want to, like, put the dirt on top of this company, but you just want to piss on the grave on top of it. How many people were pissed off when that happened? I mean, obviously it wasn't, you know, that long of a title reign, but it was just... It was just too much. It was just something that wasn't necessary. It was just Vince McMahon putting himself over and realizing that the end was near for that particular brand of ECW. So, oh, God. Either way, both title reigns sucked big balls, and I wish they had never, ever fucking happened.
There you go. Moving right along, though. You know, this is good. We get to bring out all the weakest champions, so we'll have to keep going on this. But I got two more for you. And this wasn't even a world champion. This was a cruiserweight champion, Cooter.
Oh, no. Don't even fucking say his name.
Little fat ass himself, Hornswoggle, a cruiserweight champion. You know, at the time, you know, I didn't know how to start this, but it's like, WCW had such an awesome division with the cruiserweights. WWE decided to, you know, have their own cruiserweight division, and they called it the Light Heavyweight Championship. Then it changed again to their own cruiserweight division in the early 2000s after purchasing WCW and all that.
Yeah, and they merged the titles and all that, yeah.
So they merged all that, and, you know, I don't know what happened, where the train fell off the tracks, if you will. But at one point, Hornswoggle became the Cruiserweight Champion, and not long after that, the division was shortly eliminated and put up on the drying rack, if you will, because it was just, they made it into a joke. It's like, they just didn't know what to do, you know, with it anymore. And, you know, when you have like a midget or you know, a little person
being little person, be politically champion, correct.
You know, actually, Hornswoggle liked it when I called when I said midget, so it's okay. But still, I don't know what episode that is, but we had him on the show. Regardless, I mean, it was, come on, like, if you don't have anybody good to put the title on, keep it on somebody else. Don't make a joke of it. And I'm dreading the day that starts happening with the new championships they have now, where they don't really know what to do with them anymore. That they start just making jokes. So. Don't turn your championships into jokes. That's the point I want to get to. But I'm so happy they resurrected the Cruiserweight Championship. But still, Hornswoggle, what did you think about all that?
You know what? The writing was on the wall once you saw that. I think what was even worse. Now, I don't remember if it was the Cruiserweight title or if it was the Light Heavyweight title. But Gilbert, do you remember that? Held that title for God knows how long. It was like a ridiculously long time.
You know, light heavyweight champion, yeah.
Yeah, it was the light heavyweight champion. So it's along the same lines. They just could not find the talent to build that division. They were going. I remember they were going to try to. The centerpiece was supposed to be Taka Michinoku, and when couldn't put anybody around him. I mean, he had what? A few rivalries. One of them was Scotty Too Hotty, I want to say. it was just fucking terrible. They just didn't have the talent. And God knows, it must have been years that Gilbert had that fucking title. And I don't know which was worse, Hornswoggle or Gilbert, Credo. I really don't.
Well, speaking of worse, Cooter, I think I have the worst on the list for the night. You know, when you think about this guy, it's hard to be like, well, how could it have been that bad? It was that bad. The Great Khali becoming world champion was probably one of the worst things WWE probably could ever have done. You know, it kind of happened on accident in a way when Edge had an injury in 2007. So it kind of forced WWE's hand into giving Khali his sole reign with the world championship. And it was really bad. It was only like a 2-month world title reign. But still, I mean, he can't talk. He could barely walk. Yes, he's a giant and a big guy, and they should have kept him as an attraction, and that's it. There's no need to put this championship on him, and it did nothing for anybody, I don't think.
I just remember it being so bad that he would be on TV and I would just have to turn it off. And like you said, he couldn't talk, and he had that manager, what was his name, Renjin Singh or whatever the hell it was, mm-hmm. Doing all the talking for him, which, okay, granted, I understand, but it's like you said, the guy can't even walk. I mean, his knees are shaking, you know, like a little kid in the dark cellar. Like, what the fuck, man? Seriously, and it's sad because he is such a big guy, very intimidating. I don't know if you've ever seen him in person. But
oh, yeah.
Like,
I saw him at a Northeast Wrestling show not too long ago.
Yeah, he's bigger than the Big Show. His hands, from what I've been told, are the length from, say, the tip of his middle finger to, like, the bottom of his hand is allegedly the length of a football from corner to corner.
Jeez.
Like, that's a big fucking hand. But,
yeah, but he's like misproportionate because it's like his top half doesn't match his bottom half.
Yes.
Like, it's one of those jokes where he skipped leg day, if you
leg
will.
Day,
like,
right,
he looks
exactly
like a monster on top, but then he looks like another size, I don't know, something on the bottom, and it just doesn't match up. Like, his body doesn't. It's like they took two different G.I. Joe figures and took the bodies apart and stuck them on something else. And you know what I mean if you've seen them.
Yeah, they gave him Hornswoggle's legs. I got you.
But anyway, you know, I don't know really much we could talk about that. I mean, we talked a lot about it, but if you're listening out there, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com, Twitter at @AWrestlingPod, Facebook us Another Wrestling Podcast. Let us know. Who did you think had some of the worst championship reigns, whether it be a world title, tag title, cruiserweight title, whatever title? It doesn't have to be just WWE. Let us know. Tweet us, Facebook us, all that fun stuff. Let us know.
Bret Hart.
Bite your tongue.
Hey, it could be worse.
What's that?
It could be James Ellsworth holding the title one day.
That's it. Goodbye, ladies and gentlemen.
Shining stars! Shining stars!